true turning point. Sometimes God makes it clear why he does things, and other times we just don't know. It's when we think we know that gets us into trouble. Today, Dr. David Jeremiah sheds light on this truth from the story of Job, as he and his friends persist in their wrong conclusions about Job's suffering. Here's David to introduce his thought-provoking message, By the Skin of My Teeth.
And we'll get to our discussion of that interesting phrase in just a few moments as we open our Bibles to Job chapters 18 and 19. Hey, I want to tell you about something I'm so excited about. I've been holding my breath, waiting to get the moment, and this is the day we are to announce this. This October, there will be a worldwide release of my latest book called People Are Asking, Is This the End? And inside, I share an urgent message addressing the jarring headlines, cultural shifts, and changes happening before our eyes today, and the connection to the Scripture. A glimpse into the warnings we cannot afford to ignore, but even more, the greater purpose God has for us. I'll be connecting Bible prophecy to those issues of prophetic importance. People Are Asking, Is This the End? Releases worldwide October the 4th, but I want to invite you to reserve your copy prior to the release date, and when you do, you will receive as a bonus gift my 10 prayers for our time, an exclusive offer from Turning Point during this pre-sale period. 10 prayers for our time features a set of 10 cards that will help you focus your words as you pray, seeking God's guidance and focus on His providence during these uncertain times. Here are the topics: a prayer for righteousness, a prayer for the stranger, a prayer for the persecuted, a prayer for America, a prayer for revival, a prayer for protection for the lost, a prayer for Israel, a prayer for the nations, and a prayer for Christ's coming. 10 prayers for our time are yours, absolutely free, when you help us get a jump start on this outreach opportunity by supporting Turning Point through the pre-ordering of your copy of People Are Asking, Is This the End? You will receive my new book on its release October the 4th. You'll be among the first to receive it. But you will immediately, even before October the 4th, right now, you will get the 10 prayers for our time in your choice of a digital download or the set of 10 beautiful prayer cards that we will send you through the mail. So contact us today and join the many people who will pre-order this book. This book has a chapter in it on immigration. It has a chapter on what's going on with Russia, the isolation of Israel. So many of the topics that people are asking about, but they're not getting answers. That's what we've tried to supply, and we believe it's a very timely book. So be sure and get your copy immediately, and the best way to do that is to pre-order it today. All of the information about that is on our website. All you have to do is go there and look, and you will have everything in front of you that you need to have. All right, let's get started with this lesson called By the Skin of My Teeth from Job 18 and 19. Bildad has come to the conclusion that since Job is suffering, he must be a wicked man. Since Job is suffering, he must not know God. And while he has tried in his previous speeches with Job to reason with Job and help Job to understand that if he would just confess all of his sin, that God would remove the suffering, Job understands that he is not suffering because of his sin. He can't repent of something he hasn't done. And so they have come to a stalemate. Bildad is not making any impact on Job, and he is trying his very best to help Job understand that he believes, Bildad believes, that Job is suffering because of his sin. Now Bildad has come to the conclusion that there isn't any way he's going to reason with this man. Job is unreasonable. So Bildad decides on another approach. He can't reason with Job, so he's going to scare the fire out of him. He's convinced that Job is going to die the death of a wicked man, and he's about to give Job four pictures of what that looks like. He's going to show Job what he's headed for. He's going to say, Job, since you won't confess your sin and repent before God, you're going to die as a wicked man. And maybe you don't understand what that's like. Here's what that looks like. In these next verses of the 18th chapter, he unpacks for Job four pictures of death that he perceives to be frightening enough to scare Job. Let's look at them first. He says, Job, one of these days God's going to put out your light. The first picture is the picture of an extinguished light. Job 18:5 and 6 says, the light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of the fire does not shine. The light is dark in its tent, and the lamp beside him is put out. Now in the Bible, if you study the Bible, you know that light is associated with life. God is light, God is life. Acts 17 says, God gives to all men life and breath and all things, for in him we live and move and have our being. Bildad's showing Job a picture of a light hanging in a tent, and he's saying, Job, that's your life, and you're just about to ready to have your life extinguished. God's going to put out your light. The Bible tells us that that's what happens to a wicked man. Proverbs 13:9 says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Chapter 21 of Job in verse 17, we read the same thing. How often is the lamp of the wicked put out, and how often does their destruction come upon them? The sorrows God distributes in his anger. Job agrees with Bildad's insight into the death of the wicked, but it's all immaterial because Job's not wicked. You see, Bildad's trying to say, Job, you're going to die the death of a bad man, a wicked man. And here's what this is going to be. It's one of these days, God's just going to snuff out your life. And then, you know, Job, you can't run from this. His next thing is the entrapment of a traveler, the extinguishing of a light, the entrapment of a traveler, verses 7 through 10. Read these words. The steps of his strength are shortened. His own counsel casts him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and the snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. Now here in this little picture, Bildad says, Job, you might try to run away from death, but don't try it, because the death of a wicked is absolutely, you can't run from it. And in this picture, he gives the impression of a man trying to get away, but he's entrapped. And he uses some words here that are interesting. He says, first of all, Job, the net will get you. A net spread across the path that you're trying to use to run away from death. That net will capture you. You can't get away. Then he uses another picture. He uses a snare. You know what a snare is? Well, if you've watched a Rambo movie, you know what a snare is. A snare is a hole in the ground that you cut open, and then you lay branches over it, and when the enemy runs after you, they don't see it, and they think they're going to run on hard ground, and they hit the branches, and into the pit they fall. He says, Job, what's going to happen to you when you try to run away from death? The net is going to catch you. And if that doesn't catch you, you're going to fall into the snare. And then he says, there's a trap too. And he uses the actual terms. He says, a noose that springs. He says, there's a noose on the ground. You know what that is? Have you seen some of those movies, those jungle movies, where they set a trap and it's spring-loaded on the ground and you run along and the animal or the person steps into that noose and the trap springs and the next thing you're hanging upside down from a tree? He says, Job, you can't get away from death. You're like a traveler who's been trapped. Death will take you down. Job, your death will be awful. Job, you're a wicked man. You're going to die the death of a wicked man. And then he says, it's not only going to be just the extinguishing of a light and the entrapment of a traveler, it's going to be like the escaping of a criminal. Verses 11 through 15, terrors frighten you on every side and drive him to his feet, and his strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. It devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He's uprooted from the shelter of his tent, and they parade him before the king of terrors. They dwell in his tent who are not of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. Here, Bildad personifies death. You know what his name for death is? The King of Terrors. And you know, if you don't know God, that's really what it is, isn't it? Death for a person without God is the King of Terrors. A person who doesn't know God fears death more than he fears anything else. As Voltaire tried, half of or all of what he has. If he can just somehow avoid death for a little bit longer. Terror frightens him. Calamity eats away at his strength. Disaster walks him along the road. And he gets weaker and weaker. Bildad is saying to Job, listen carefully, here's the picture I want you to see, Job. I want you to understand where you're going. You're going. God is going to snuff out your light. You can try to get away, but you'll fall into the trap. You can run, but the king of terrors will get you. And then finally, and the cruelest of all, he says, Job, your death is like the extinction of your family. Notice how cleverly Bildad presents his case in verses 16 through 21. He says, his roots are dried out below, and his branch withers above. The memory of him perishes from the earth. He has no name among the renowned. He is driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He has neither son nor posterity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Those in the west are astonished at his day. Those in the east are frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. Bildad is convinced that Job does not know God. And he says, Job, this isn't just about you. You are going to go to your death and you will have nothing left as any legacy. Your children are gone. Your family is gone. Everybody's gone. Job, you're going to die an awful death if you don't come clean and know God. And Job already knows God. And he's a man of integrity. And all I can think of when I read this is, what in the world would you do if you were in his place? How would you ever take this emotional, difficult suffering that must have been Job's to hear this man just tear him to shreds for no good reason at all? Ever known anybody like that? Ever been at the end of anybody's attack like that? As we turn away from Bildad's words to hear from Job, we are reminded of the power of our words, either to heal or to hurt. Did you know your words are so powerful? Here we read this speech of Bildad and we feel the anguish that Job, he's broken already. Here's this man just tearing him to shreds. Now the 18th chapter is, again, one of those places where one of Job's counselors talks in this chapter, and Job comes back and talks in the next. So Job comes back now, and he gives in his little speech, if Bildad's talking about the metaphors of death, Job's going to talk about the miseries of life. And basically what Job is going to say, he's going to say, Bildad, don't tell me how bad death is. My life is worse than anything you said. My life is death. My life is a mess. You got four pictures? I got seven. Let me show you my pictures. And so he unfolds his concept of the trials of his life. Remember now, Job, he's been going through this for some time. One by one, all the options to explain this have disappeared. And Job's finally come to the conclusion that for some reason that he doesn't understand, God is involved. And God is doing this. God is allowing this to happen. He doesn't know why. He actually believes God has considered Job his enemy. And so now in the 19th chapter, Job is going to tell Bildad what life is like. Walking in his shoes. In verse 1 through 4, he says, then Job answered and said, how long are you going to torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. If indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. Notice the words that Job uses. Look down at your Bibles. He said he has been tormented, broken, reproached, and wronged. He feels worthless and helpless in the face of all of this suffering, and his friends are piling on. Job says that even if he has erred, notice what he says, and if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. Translated, that means, even if I have sinned, it's none of your business. It's my deal, between me and God. So lay off. Shut up. And then he gives to Bildad his pictures of frustration. Verses 1 through 12 of chapter 19 are the pictures of Job's frustration. He feels like a desperate animal, verses 5 and 6. If indeed you exalt yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then that God has wronged me. and has surrounded me with his net. God has caught me in his trap. I'm like an animal caught in a trap. And then he says in verse 7, I'm like a defenseless criminal. I cry out concerning wrong, and I'm not heard. If I cry aloud, there's no justice. Job feels wronged by God, and there are no charges against him, and there's no justice given to him. And he can't defend himself, and nobody's standing up to defend him. He feels like he just doesn't have any hope. He says, you want to tell me about death the way you see it? Let me tell you about life the way I live it. My life is worse than anything you've told me is going to happen to me. I'm not moved by your speech, Bildad. You should live in my shoes. He talks about being like a desperate animal and a defenseless criminal. And then he says, I'm like a detained traveler. He says, God has fenced up my way so that I can't pass. I can't move forward. And he has set darkness in my path. And he says, I'm like a dethroned king. Verse 9, God has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown off of my head. Before Job's trials had begun, back in the early chapters of this book, he had been one of the most important men in the East. Now he had been disgraced and dethroned. He had gone from the highest position to the lowest place. He had experienced total humiliation. A desperate animal, a defenseless criminal, a detained traveler, a dethroned king. And then he says, I'm like a damaged structure, back to the poem we talked about. He says, I've just been torn down. Verse 10, he breaks me down on every side and I am gone. Do you know everything with Job had once been strong? He had a strong family, a strong standing in the community, a strong financial position and strong faith. And now everything that was strong is broken down into weakness like a broken building. Job says, I feel ruined. Like a desperate animal and a defenseless criminal, a detained traveler, a dethroned king, a damaged structure, and number 6, a dislodged tree. Notice verse 10, he says, my hope has uprooted like a tree. Job says, I used to think I had some hope, but my roots obviously didn't go down very deep, and now all my hope has been gone like a tree being pulled right out of the ground. And finally, like a defeated city. He says, he has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his enemies. His troops come together, build up their road against me, and they encamp all around my tent. Listen to what Job is saying. He's saying, Bildad, you want to try to scare me with your pictures of death? I want to scare you with my pictures of life. Life, the way I live it right now, is worse than any kind of death you could ever have explained. Now, this experience of Job has taken its toll on him personally, but I want you to notice not only Job's pictures of frustration, but let's revisit his family for just a moment and see how this has impacted his family. In verses 13 through 22, we read these words. He has removed my brothers from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed. My close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, and he gives no answer. I beg with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsive to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise, and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bone clings to my skin and to my flesh. I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. We're now about to see pictures of Job's faith. And in verse 23 and following, you're not going to believe what you're about to read. From the mouth of the man who has expressed such terrible suffering, he writes, oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on this earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Looking back at it today, how strange is Job's speech. He longed for his words to be etched in granite so that people throughout time could read them and his thoughts would not be forgotten. And I'm saying to Job, your prayer was answered, man. I got your words etched in my book. I hear your words. I read your words. God Almighty has preserved your words throughout eternity. From the lowest of the lows to the highest of the highs. And then back again. Job cries out from his anguish. How he knew it, I don't know. We are not told. But in his heart, God placed this message that as hopeless as his life seemed and as awful as a death would be, none of that was the end. For Job knew that his Redeemer lived. And this ends up being one of the most triumphant statements of faith in all of the Bible. It may well be the earliest mention of the resurrection to be found in God's Word. Gradually, out of the anguish and despair of this man's heart, a realization has dawned that God is working out a great and mighty purpose in all of human history. A day is coming when God Himself, the God that Job has honestly worshipped, that this God shall become visibly present before humanity. He shall appear on the earth and vindicate all that he does. So in this statement, Job looks ahead by faith to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Job calls him my Redeemer, that is, my Vindicator, the one who will defend me and ransom me and resurrect him from the dust of death. What an incredible passage of Scripture, rising up out of the dust and ashes of a broken man to remind us all that no matter how things might be in our life or in our day, we have a hope that transcends all difficulty. It's the hope of the risen Lord who one day will return to this earth. And if you and I remain and we're alive when he comes, the Bible says we'll be caught up together with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if we should die before he returns, the Bible says our bodies will go in the grave. And because of his resurrection, when the voice of the archangel sounds, all of those who have been placed in the grave will be resurrected and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. Job speaks to us of the glory of God's plan for us. He speaks to us of this great moment in future when Almighty God will finally and forever put death away in exchange for everlasting life. And the question we all have today in our hearts is this: where am I in relationship to this? Can I say with Job, I know I shall see my Redeemer with my own eyes, not another but me? And the way you come to that conclusion, the way you come to that faith, is by putting your trust in the one who came back from the grave. By understanding that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the risen Lord of glory, and that he offers to all who will put their trust in him salvation from their sin, freedom from their guilt, and the assurance of heaven in the coming resurrection.
Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to move to the 20th and 21st chapters of Job and deal with some false accusations. At the beginning of today's program, I told you about the pre-sale of the book that comes out in October and how you can be among the first to order it and have the opportunity to either download or have sent to you the 10 prayers that go along with the 10 topics in the book. Here is the prayer for Israel, at least part of it. It starts like this: Heavenly Father, the psalmist tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So I pray for peace for your chosen people, Israel, and their beloved city today. You have planned for Israel, provided for Israel, and protected Israel for thousands of years. And then the prayer goes on for several more paragraphs, beautifully presented on a bookmark sort of presentation. All 10 of these are yours when you pre-order the book today. And we'll see you right here tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's current series in Job, Tried, Tested, and Triumphant, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where we offer two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Be sure to ask for the comforting book, God's Promises for When You're Hurting, yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible with thousands of notes and articles from over 40 years of study by Dr. Jeremiah. Available in standard or large print, ask about it when you contact us today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Tried, Tested, and Triumphant on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.